a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Rockets quickly the other way, though. Shingun spinning it a lively, throws it up, and hey, he gets it to drop.
What a moment. And honestly, what a month it's been. I'm going to quote a couple of wise philosophers to begin today's show on Wednesday, November 29th of 2023. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end, it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. I'm going to quote another wise philosopher. Okay, because we're getting philosophical today. It's hump day. I will remember you. Will you remember me? Don't let your life pass you by. Weep not for the memories. What a month it's been as the Houston Rockets fought their hardest to advance to the next round of the in-season tournament, what I'm affectionately calling the NBA Cup. But sadly, last night, it came up short. So it's a sad morning. But in a way, it's a good morning. Because for the first time in a really long time, Sean Mapes, we felt alive while watching Houston Rockets basketball.
Yeah, I saw people, and one of my friends was texting me the same thing when they first saw. And A, I was impressed that they were texting me in the first quarter of a November Rockets game.
Who does that?
That, I mean, also kind of in-season tournament kind of worked. If we're leading the show with a Rockets loss to the Mavericks.
We're not talking Astros. We're not talking football. We're talking in-season tournament.
My friend texted me like, oh, man, Scott Foster's reffing this game. And I'm like, I'm kind of happy he's back in my life. I'm happy that, like, I care that Scott Foster's reffing a game.
We do back the blue on this show.
Except Scott Foster. He's one of the bad ones.
I don't think there is a bad blue. I don't think there is.
No, there's bad apples, Paul.
I don't think there are. I think they're all good.
I won't put up any real-life examples. There's one that's recently in the news.
Sean, Scott Foster, yeah. Sometimes he does things you don't agree with, but he makes you feel.
Can I just skip all the way to the end?
Yes.
Because this comes back to Scott Foster. Literally the last half second of the game, the Rockets were down four. They put up a shot, misses. Luka gets the rebound. The Mavericks were favored by 5 points in this game. There's a call. The buzzer sounds. There's a whistle right before the buzzer okay. ends. And they go back and review it. Put half a second back on the clock. Luka Doncic gets to shoot free throws. So the Mavericks win by six. And they cover.
Well, you're looking at it the wrong way.
Instead of the Rockets covering.
Sean, we got a half second more of the NBA Cup.
No, I'm saying Scott Foster is doing a favor for his friends out in Las Vegas.
I think he was doing a favor for me and for us and for everyone who appreciates the in-season tournament.
And his friend Tim Donaghy.
The Rockets got to stay alive a little longer. Listen, you talk about the spread. I would never gamble except for on mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. I would never do that. But he tried to make it last a little bit longer. I'm being 100% serious here. The NBA Cup made me feel alive again. It did. And we'll talk about what went down in the game in a moment, but I'm just happy to feel something. I'm beating my chest right now. That's not my fist hitting my chest. That is my heart beating my chest from the inside. A massive success this in-season tournament. You know why? Because the players are playing longer into games. They're running up the scores on teams across the league. But it's sad because it's over. And it was a good time along the way. Now, to keep it simple, we're talking about the actual game itself really quickly. 121-115, the Mavericks beat the Rockets. They're 0-6 on the road this year. I don't know what it is, but that's the worst mark in the NBA, which is pretty impressive considering they're 8-7 on the season. They allowed 121 points. That's tied for the most points they allowed all year. And the last time that happened was on the second night of a back-to-back against the Golden State Warriors. They fouled the Mavericks 27 times. All right, Scott Foster. I mean, there was one egregious flop by Kyrie Irving where Dylan Brooks was nearby, and they reviewed it, and they still said that it was a foul, even though it clearly was not a foul. Dylan Brooks did nothing there. But it's the second most fouls. The Rockets have the second most fouls in the NBA to this point on the season, and they definitely helped the Mavericks out, especially down the stretch. The Rockets were up 9 with 125 to go in the third quarter, and Dallas shot 54% the rest of the way. So they played dumb. The defense stunk. Number one defense in the NBA going into the game. And the other thing is, too, they do have Alperen Şengün, who is clearly their best player. Jabari Smith Jr. all of a sudden has a turnaround jumper. So that's exciting. But they don't have stars. Dallas does. Dallas has two. And even though they're not a complete team, because it really is just Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, Luka, again, goes for 40-plus against you. And Kyrie, down the stretch, finally woke up. And here you are on the outside of the NBA Cup looking in. Which bums me out. A couple of people also in their feelings this morning. Hackashack comments, twitch.tv/ESPN975. I put this in-season group play loss right up there with the 2018 Game 7 heartbreaker to the Warriors. Hugh Dab says the same. It's probably the biggest game they've played since then, unless you want to talk about the 2019 playoffs.
Yeah,
or
they made two
tournament.
Playoffs after that.
They did.
This is still the in-season tournament, folks.
It's the in-season tournament.
They've lost in the second round twice since then. So, yes, but it's at least the bubble.
But you thought that they had a chance to win in this in-season tournament. You thought you had a chance where you didn't think you had a chance in 2019 and 2020. Yeah. You knew you didn't have a chance.
Well, when Kevin Durant got hurt in 2019, there's a little bit of like, oh.
I remember
now,
that.
Now it's open.
And then ended.
That's retribution for the CP3 one. And then it's like, no.
It ended really literally wasn't. Two games later.
Yeah.
Right. It was done. As far as other things that took place in the game, we're coming around on Dylan Brooks, aren't we? After the game, Dylan Brooks, he said that the team played dumb and that they got to be smarter out there on the court. A moment of growth, a moment of maturity from Dylan Brooks. Here he was after the game.
Yeah, that was stupid of me. It was a bad call. I mean, that's a bad foul on me. That's like some year three. Take that as ownership. And at a point, we were down 3. So, you know, I take that wholeheartedly.
He's getting, I think, more mature as a basketball player. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little disappointed in that. You know why? Because Alperen Şengün got drilled in the nuts. I mean, you may as well have put the bat signal up in the midst of the Mavericks arena. Because that was Dylan Brooks' moment to do some cheap stuff. That was his opportunity. And sure, he's more mature. He's acknowledging that there were some dumb fouls along the way. How about one more dumb foul? How about a kick to the nuts of somebody, huh? How about some retribution?
If you're going to foul out, foul out.
Exactly. He fouled out at the end. Okay. But can if you know you're if you got Kyrie Irving flopping in front of you, I don't know, like, move your knee up really quickly. Oh, no, Kyrie's face went into my knee. Oh, no. You got to deliver some retribution. Paul, are you asking for the Rockets to play dirty? Well, what's the point of having Dylan Brooks if you don't? You can't have people going after Alper and Şengün. This is actually a serious take. After that happened, Dylan Brooks should have fought someone. And Dylan Brooks was pleading his case towards Scott Foster and the referees to make it more than the foul it was originally called on the court. They did upgrade it to a flagrant one. But Dylan, bruh, you're here for leadership, but you're also here as an enforcer. You're Dylan the villain. And in last night's game, because of his maturity, because of his growth, because he didn't fight back, Dylan the villain, he didn't die a villain. He lived long enough to become a hero for the Dallas Mavericks. And that's just a shame. That's just a shame. Some comments here. King of all Twitches says, kicking a man's nuts should be a felony. Well, what about an assault of Alper and Şengün? Honestly, hate crime. He's from Turkey. Hate crime. I'm just saying. You got to fight back if they're going after your best player. Why is Dylan Brooks here? You know? Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. I'm just bummed out. All the great memories we had during this NBA, either in-season tournament or NBA Cup, it's come to an end after the Rockets lost last night, 121-115. It is the Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Should kicking a person in the nads be illegal? Embrace debate. Is there retribution? If someone gets hit in the nads, should you be allowed to hit that person in the nads back? These are the important discussions that we need to have. Also, up next, college football is trolling you. Take a deep breath and relax. I'll explain why next. Stick around on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
97.5 and 92.5. Planet Unicorn, hey.
Planet Unicorn, Unicorn Planet.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Embrace debate. If someone sacks you, should you or a teammate be allowed to tap back or punch? Hugh Dab says, nothing wrong with a little sack tap. D'Amico Senko 9 says, love that game with the bros. Retaliatory should be allowed. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm 34 years old. Some of my friends who are 5 to 6 years older than me, every now and then, love tap. I actually generally walk around when I'm with some of them with whatever I'm drinking, generally a bottle of Miller Lite or something like that, or maybe it's a glass of Pendleton. I'll put it in front of my nethers. I don't wear a cup, never have, but this is the closest thing that you could have to a cup. Anyway, the NBA Cup has been very interesting, but I think once again, despite this NBA Cup, I at least think making some of these games more competitive in November and December than you'd expect. Basketball players still seem miserable, as do their coaches. Take, for example, Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson is not the Klay Thompson of old. The Splash Brothers, no more. Steph Curry, still Steph Curry. Klay Thompson is in a different phase of his career. Some daring reporter thought that I'm going to ask Klay Thompson about patience that's being shown to him. Klay Thompson took that rather personally.
Kurt talks a lot about believing in his guys, especially the starting lineup, won championship not too long ago, having patience, letting guys kind of, you know, find their game. How aware are you of that kind of patience, and how much do you value it?
What do you want me to bench me?
No. It's like that's
you want bench Wiggs.
I don't think us? I said that.
Okay. I mean, you can suggest it. It's fine. But I mean, thanks, Steve. I guess. Like I don't know. Sometimes you earn these things, like patience and time to find yourself. And I think history will is on our side when it comes to that stuff.
You say that. Have you heard people say that, or is,
no? I don't care what people say. Like. They don't do what we do. They can't do what they do. That's why they talk. Why would I? Like, come on. I don't care what people say. At this point in my life. Next question.
Do you buy that he doesn't care what people say at this phase of his life, Sean Mapes?
Yeah. Listen to how many times he said it. He said it like 3 times. And a huh. A court. That's what people who don't care about other people say always say.
It did sound like a natural laugh.
Huh.
That's how I laugh all the time.
Also, he completely jumped to getting benched. Like, he completely jumped there.
It was a very politely
worded
question.
It was a normal question. It's like what you would ask, like, Alex Bregman when he struggles in April. Just like,
right.
Hey, Dusty's really shown you a lot of patience.
Seriously.
that makes you feel more comfortable, right? And he's like, what, you want to bench me?
You want to bench Wig? I mean... I feel like we're jumping pretty far in the jump to conclusions, Matt, here, yeah. Clay. But, hey, okay, he's hoping he's going to be back to the guy he used to be. And history has been on the Warriors' side.
Yes, two things. The Warriors need to win their game by 12, and they're up 24 in the third quarter, and they lost by one. They blew a...
So they're out of the NBA Cup?
Yes, they blew a 24-point lead, which really only a 12-point lead. But,
Rockets only blew a 9-point lead.
But these games also count as regular season games, and they just did lose a game to the Sacramento Kings, a team that they probably will be battling for the rest of the season. Also, there's a story about how Klay Thompson, with his impending free agency and his lack of a contract extension, has like been noticeably more like... I don't know, moody around the Warriors facility. Yeah,
didn't sound moody there at all.
Yeah, which is weird because he doesn't care what people say.
He doesn't care.
But
he doesn't care about anything.
It's a little Klay Thompson update.
We're just talking, and he does. You know, it's different. Also, as we continue to hear from NBA people who are just miserable, which is a shame because the NBA Cup is a great thing. I mean, I just lived the best month of my basketball life. Seeing the Rockets go 2-2 in the NBA Cup. But Jason Kidd, after his Mavericks took down the Rockets last night, I don't really know where this came from, but I guess he's mad that people aren't being more positive about the Mavericks.
But that was a big, big thing you guys wanted to make a big deal about last year. But you're not making a big deal about it this year because it's going good, right? So write some positive shit.
I just asked you a question.
And I'm giving you a answer. Like, you guys, you know, there's all right to write positive stuff. People will read your positive You don't always have to be negative, right? Like, it's just the world's already negative enough, right? So let's see some positive stuff on some positive people that are playing, doing their job on a nightly basis.
Making it a lot easier to do that this year.
Well, we're only into this year. We can't go back to last year, right? Like, that's the problem. Have a good night.
The question was about how they are more clutch this year than they were last year. So, legitimately, a positive question. And he answered like that. Do they hate their jobs this much? You got Greg Popovich whining at press conferences. We played that audio yesterday. Picking up the microphone in the middle of the game because referees are booing. Does anyone like basketball who plays it? Seriously. I don't know how Jason Kidd, after they beat the Rockets by 6 points last night, goes from saying, wow, Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic were clutch in this game, to why are you guys so negative? Honestly, NBA press conferences might be more entertaining than the actual basketball itself.
When it's not the NBA Cup.
Because the NBA Cup is great. But second most important thing during the NBA regular season are the press conferences. And the third most important thing during an NBA season is the offseason. And then you have the playoffs.
Also, the Mavericks had lost, I think, 4 out of 5 or 4 out of 6 going into that game. Ooh. So maybe that's why they weren't being super positive. They're losing a bunch of games before the last night.
It's bizarre, man. I don't get why they're always so on edge and sensitive. I'm not going to lie. It does make their press conferences appointment television. Anyway, speaking of appointment television, I imagine there's some people who are waiting with an eager, bated breath on Tuesdays to see what college football rankings are going to be, specifically for the college football playoff. And a lot of people are upset about where Texas ranks in the most recent batch of rankings. They're 7th. Georgia 1, Michigan up to 2, Washington 3, Florida State 4. Those four teams are undefeated. That makes sense. 5, Oregon? That was surprising to me. 6, Ohio State. 7, Texas, and 8, Alabama. It does feel like the door has, one, been reopened for Ohio State to return to the college football playoff with a little bit of help. That help being a Washington loss to Oregon in the Pac-12 championship and a Florida State loss to Louisville in the ACC championship. But I feel like Texas is going to potentially need an Alabama victory over Georgia to get in now. Until I remembered this. College football playoff puts out these rankings to get you to talk about them. And they do it in a controversial manner. And every single time you see them, just remember, they're trying to rile you up. They are like Fox News for the right, CNN for the left. They are throwing a piece of meat out there for you to freak out about. And then they move on and they never go back to it. And when the final college football playoff rankings are out, I'm not acting like they're going to get it 100% right. I think there's a little bit more debate this year than there's been in years past. But just remember, with Texas being 7th right now, I don't think that means that at the end of the year, they're going to be stuck in 7th, even if they beat Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship Saturday.
Or that a win like won't immediately jump them over Ohio State, whose season is over. Like, people are treating it like
exactly. The
college football playoff just like bumps everyone up one, even though, like, again, Ohio State will not play until their bowl game. They won't do it. So yes, they do have a chance to get in, but it would probably take a Florida State loss, either Oregon or Washington. That doesn't super matter to them, but it would actually probably help if Oregon lost.
Interesting.
And then they would need also a Texas loss and an Alabama loss. Like, they need like 5 teams to lose.
Yeah, right. For Ohio State, yeah.
Yeah, for Ohio State. Texas, I think the path is still, like, fairly clear. It's like Louisville beats Florida State, Texas wins. Feels like that should be enough for Texas to get in. I can't really come up with a scenario other than maybe Alabama beating Georgia and then both Alabama and Georgia making it. But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't really see that many scenarios where there's also the scenario where Georgia's undefeated and wins. Michigan's undefeated and wins. Washington's undefeated and wins. Florida State's undefeated and wins. And it's a very easy day for the selection committee of just, okay, all the 4 undefeated teams make it.
I think the ranking of Oregon has triggered the most.
Yeah.
Because what?
Definitely has triggered the most.
I mean, their best wins are Oregon State and Utah. Texas's best wins, Alabama and Kansas State. Alabama should have them, I think, north. The Pac-12, really good this year. Big 12 was pretty good this year as well, though. I don't think there's like a massive chasm between the two conferences.
Well, also, the Pac-12 was really good. Oregon hadn't played any of them.
Right.
They played Washington, and they lost.
Right.
Yeah. The relative like strength of their schedules has been brought up a lot, and then Oregon playing Texas Tech in September and winning by 8 or 9. It was a weird score margin. They won. I think they won by 9. And Texas played Texas Tech last week and won by 50. And so that's another one where people are like, look at the common opponents. Aha. And answer me this. Boo Corrigan, the spokesperson for the College Playoff Committee, which, by the way, the spokesperson for the College Playoff Committee is named Boo Corrigan. Boo. Corrigan, comma, boo is what he puts on his government documents.
I'm cool with that. Are you cool with that? You don't seem to be cool with that.
No, I mean,
it's just a
hilarious name to be mad at. To be like, Boo Corrigan, look at this, look at the resumes, Boo Corrigan.
Come on, boo.
It's like,
figure it out.
Also, he's just the spokesperson for it. Like, there's 12 other people that make this decision, and one guy draws this short stick and has to answer Reese Davis's questions about it.
I would say the decisions that were made yesterday are not something you should freak out about if you're a Texas fan right now.
No, just win.
Just win, baby.
Just win.
Just win, and you do need a little bit of help, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, bad news for the Houston Texans going forward and a massive controversy that one child fan has found himself embroiled in for being double racist. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Time to wake up.
Hey, you. You're finally awake. You were trying to cross the border, right?
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Couple of Texans notes first. Tytus Howard done for the year after the injury he suffered on Sunday. It's just been a rough year for the Houston Texans offensive line. And you do have to wonder about the Tytus Howard extension given before this season. I get it. You're trying to reward players for being around for a while. And I'm not going to hold it against Tytus Howard for his issues at left guard this season, specifically in run blocking, when he's supposed to be your right tackle. And because of injuries, he was thrust into that position. But you got to wonder about this contract going forward, if Howard's ever going to be the same guy again. Also, the Texans released Shaquille Griffin, a cornerback, today. Does make you wonder what they will do as a corresponding move. I wonder if it means they're going to bring Matt Amendola back as their kicker from the practice squad to the active roster. Some people are hoping it means that Marcus Peters, who was just released, is somebody that the Houston Texans signed. So there you go. Also, some fun news. Andre Johnson is a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame in 2024. He was a finalist last year. Yesterday was the 13-year anniversary of him kicking Courtland Finnegan's butt in the middle of a game. I believe this is Kevin Harlan and Dan Fouts on the call for CBS.
So this action right here, Finnegan gets the first shot, then gets his helmet knocked off. He takes off Johnson, and now Johnson is going to get a couple of good shots in there, or bad shots, if you will. And they're both gone, as well they should be.
I don't think he wanted to say as well they should be. He said good shots. Dan Fouts likes a fight or two. What's wrong with the fight or two in the middle of a football game?
The self-correction is so funny.
Yeah.
It's also very, like, I feel like 2010 NFL, like, specifically in, like, the 2000s, where they had to be like, man, this is awesome, but we've now known that this is not good. But also, I'm Dan Fouts, and I played in the 70s and 80s. This is awesome.
He knew a producer was going to correct him, and he corrected as quickly as he could because he didn't want somebody in his ear.
He didn't want to have the headline, Andre Johnson got some good shots in there.
He did get some good shots in there, though.
100% did.
He was just saying the facts.
Beat Courtland Inigan's ass.
Yeah.
You know why they call him Courtland Inigan, Paul?
Why's that?
Because he got the F be out of him.
Ooh!
Yeah. Guess who had a Facebook account in 2009 or whenever this happened.
Did you find that post?
What?
Did you post that?
No, I mean, it just got reposted by literally every every person in, what, high school in the city of Houston for the next like 6 months. It was just constantly reposted, that picture, that meme.
Shout out to you being on Facebook still. I you know what? That's
well, this story took place in 2010 when this fight happened.
No, I know. I just mean, when's the last time you've been on Facebook?
I don't know.
The last time I was on Facebook.
I have no idea.
There's a man who keeps trying to slide into my DMs, and he has been doing it for a very, very long time. It's always, good morning, sir. Hello, sir. Good night, sweet dream. His name is, it's my friend, Selva, Kumaran Selva. He's a good guy. Wants the Paul Gallant experience. And, you know, a lot of guys do. People tell me that all the time. People think that I like that kind of experience. And you know what? We're going to leave the mystery out in the air. Hey, controversy. We've got controversy, and it involves a small child. No, I am not talking about that player on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I am talking about a Kansas City Chiefs fan because there's an article on Deadspin. And the article could not have been more wrong, I guess. There was an image from Sunday's Chiefs-Raiders game of a child, no one was sure of the age, wearing a Chiefs headdress and with one side of his face painted black. Now, we didn't see that the other side of his face was painted red, but Deadspin felt that this kid was being racist, that he got in blackface for this game and then put on a Chiefs headdress. So Deadspin, from this, put together an article about the problem of teams nicknamed after Native Americans before also wondering whether or not this is a general racism problem for the NFL. Here's the problem. The other side of the face is the kid's face was painted red. And it turns out that the kid is actually part Native American. So I wonder if this kid is going to own Deadspin by the end of the day, in the same way Hulk Hogan owns Gawker Media, and in the same way that, remember that kid that was protesting in Washington, D.C., and the Native American came up to him with the drum, and he was smiling, and everyone thought he was racist for some reason, and I think he sued some news network for $1 billion. Good for this kid, making money the American way. By suing somebody for writing someone something that they took out of their butt. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
I like it. Look up that article for yourself. It's really funny because all of the tweets that are embedded in the article have additional context notes, which you can now add on Twitter. So basically the entire premise of the article, completely wrong. Journalism in America. Is it dead?
I know. When you said he could own Deadspin, I was like, does he want to? Like, is that like a thing that is Deadspin worth something? That might be another bad deal for a Native American.
Mm.
Talk about long American history.
Oof.
Bad deals for
Native a lot American. Of bad deals. So they got to get a good one. Okay.
Yes.
This would be a good one. One last thing. Bill O'Brien was asked about Mac Jones yesterday. Things haven't gone great for him this year. I don't think that he's the number one guy to blame though. If you want to blame anyone, blame me. I'm the one who designs it, and it's not going very well. Bill O'Brien has a Batman complex. I mean, he loves to be the martyr for a failing offense and take the pressure off of his players. If you remember, this is something he did a lot when he was the head coach of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I screwed that up. My mistake. When we lose, John, it's look in the mirror time, and we did not win the game, so it's my fault. Again, it's on me. You can't kick field goals in a red area. And, you know, we had too many field goals down there. I think at the end of the day, again, it comes down to me. Anything that happened negative in that game is on me. It's on the coach. We've got to coach better. And that's the way it will always be with me.
Stand up guy. A stand up guy. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Houston Texans moved on from Bill O'Brien. And guess what? Houston Texans ownership is looking better by the day because of what's happening in Carolina with the Panthers. Yesterday's David Tepper press conference is one of the biggest disasters in NFL history. We'll talk about some of the highlights next. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. I bet David Tepper, after his press conference was done, needed a drink, a stiff one. And you know what? Pendleton, which captures the unique spirit of the American West in every single bottle made with the finest northern grains and Mount Hood Glacier water, he should have gone to Pendleton's website to take a look at some of the drink recipes that they have. Who doesn't like a Paloma? Well, guess what? How about the Pendleton Paloma? No tequila. Use Pendleton's original for a sweeter and warmer flavor with grapefruit juice, syrup, orange bitters. It's one of many things that you can put together with Pendleton Whiskey, a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
Clever metaphors and catchphrases escape me, like a fat girl waving her trophy from the smell contest. Sweet Sassy Molassie, I'm trying my best here.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump aboard, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. My sexuality, once again, a subject of conversation on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Keep on guessing, baby. Keep on guessing. What if the plot twist was I was asexual all along? And am a they, them? Could be. But thanks to HR, I don't have to share that with you. Now, guys, sometimes you just need to be thankful for what you have. Sometimes you need to be thankful that the Houston sports world, okay, it has Tillman Fertitta, but hey, he does a great job with the Cougs. But for the most part, seems like the ownership groups are on the right track. I mean, his Rockets tenure, bit of a disaster thus far, but Ime Udoka aboard. Things going in the right direction. Cal McNair, Hannah McNair, Texans moving in the right direction. They got D'Amico Ryans. They got CJ Stroud. And of course, you have the great Jim Crane. And I know I'm going to sound like a bootlicker hoping for alms for the poor from the suits who run the sports in this town. But I want to lick some boot right now. So let's lick some boot.
Can Astros owner Jim Crane do any wrong? Of course not.
We're really proud of the rings.
I'm never satisfied.
Let us all gather round and lick the boot of the greatest owner in Houston sports by making fun of other bad owners.
I hope you've washed your ass this morning. It's about to be kissed.
Panthers owner David Tepper had one of the biggest bleep show press conferences I've ever seen. To the point where I was confused by what was happening. This is a man who is one of the most wealthy owners in all of American sports. And there were times where he spoke where I legitimately don't know what he was trying to say. Take this moment where he said it was unanimous that everyone in the Panthers organization wanted Bryce Young. I've listened to this clip more and more, and every single time I hear it, the more confused I am about whether or not they actually wanted Bryce Young over CJ Stroud.
No, it's been reported and we talked about it. Originally, we were going to go to the number two pick, and we thought we'd get CJ because we thought the Texans were going to pick Bryce. And listen, we preferred Bryce. He was our number one pick. We had a lot of conviction. But, you know, in answer to your questions, it's just not the way the process was done. The process was done the way the process was done. And again, even though if there was a process with five people in the room and four, and the way the votes came in, it was Frank was the first choice, I always could veto that choice. And even if it was Bryce and the votes came in unanimously in this particular case, I could have vetoed that choice. In both cases, I supported both choices. Okay? I'm just going to say that I supported both choices. I supported the coaches. I supported the scouts, their unanimous opinion. And I supported Frank Reich. So whatever's good, bad, or indifferent is ultimately because the buck stops here, and I take full responsibility for everything. But that's the way the process runs. And just one last thing.
What?
And then we're going to go here. As far as Bryce Young is concerned, I cannot say this, you know, for myself, and I think everybody in this building would share this sentiment. We are totally confident in that pick. Okay, I think the people that made that pick first, you know, would be totally confident in that. You know, some of them you could ask. Okay?
What?
And I think the and for me, I'm totally confident in agreeing with that pick.
I have no idea what was said there, because he said there was unanimous sentiment that Bryce Young was wanted, but I had the power to veto it if I wanted to.
Yeah, we could take votes, but I could veto it.
Right. He also said, Sean, that we thought the Texans were going to take Bryce. You traded up for the number one pick.
Well, because he's talking about the three-team trade that would have happened where...
But it didn't effing happen. Why is he talking about it? This is what I don't understand.
Because CJ Stroud's better than Bryce Young. That's why.
This trade happened well before the draft. It's not like the movie Draft Day, where there's all sorts of trades happening at the last second, and all of a sudden the Panthers are like, oh, God, we got to make a pick. That didn't happen. So what is he talking about? And then he says, the buck stops with me. Cool.
Bill O'Brien moment.
Then continues to say, we're fully confident in Bryce Young, but seems to imply that some people aren't. I do not know what he said there, and I am wowed by the fact that this guy is a successful businessman entirely based off of his inability to communicate clear thoughts. Every time I listened to that clip, Sean, five times this morning, it was labeled as David Tepper admits they wanted that Frank Reich or someone wanted Stroud over Young. And I kept listening to it, and I'm like, wait, what? Did that happen somewhere there? I'm still trying to find it.
He did the classic... I mean, this happens all the time in sports where it's the, like, I stand by the process. And, like, it was Frank Reich's decision. It was the other four people in the room who I assume have all been fired along with Frank Reich. It was their decision, and I was cool with it. But it was their decision. I didn't veto it. So you can blame me if it goes wrong.
My brain hurts.
And it was a classic, like, I'm saying it was all their decision, and I allowed them to make the decision, so it's my fault, not their fault, who made the decision that you're all mad at. Like, it's the guy, by the way,
that he fired.
Yes, it is so, like, I am trying to sound like I am a good boss while also throwing my now-fired coach and probably my GM, who soon-to-be-fired GM, I'm throwing them all under the bus by saying it's their decision. If anything, I'm not hands-on enough to stop them from making the bad decisions. It's so funny that he thought that this would work.
You mentioned hands off. Speaking of hands off, he is not hands off at all.
The hands are all over him.
The hands. Oh, he's handsy. There's nothing wrong with being handsy, you know? Like,
long history of Carolina Panthers owners being handsy.
Right. It's not just an Italian thing. Shout out to the late Governor Andrew Cuomo. It's not just for them, and it's not just for, you know, your drunk friend. Some people are a little too handsy. David Tepper was extremely meddlesome. A league source said that before Frank Reich was fired, he was approached by the front office about incorporating more RPO plays into his game plan to suit Bryce Young's strengths. Reich declined, saying it didn't really fit his offensive system. Okay, so... do you think that David Tepper, like, went online and saw the word RPO and was like, hey, you got to do that? I bet he did.
Yeah, he just saw some tweets from, I don't know. What, name a smart NFL person.
Yeah.
Said, like, Bryce Young hasn't been utilized enough in the RPO. And he was like, hey, do the RPO stuff.
The RPO sounds good. Also, another report. He once handed his offensive coordinator a piece of paper with a play on it midweek and said he'd seen Cleveland run that play this week. He wanted them to run it on Sunday. Just a random play.
I mean, he is the owner of the team, so he... I'm actually okay with that.
Run the Fumble Rooski.
I'm okay with it. Yeah. Just
I
like,
watched
hey,
Little Giants yesterday. Run the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yes. Hey. That's the point of owning a football team.
It's like, I mean, to be fair, you're
that is,
right.
That is the point.
Also, okay, so the media is also big mad at David Tepper yesterday. So the Panthers had six spots reserved in the front row. Only one was taken. Most daily beat writers had to sit in the second and third row. Shut up. This is that's a lame thing to bitch about. But Scott Fowler, who crushed Tepper in the Charlotte Observer, wasn't allowed to ask a question. And as someone who wasn't allowed to ask Deshaun Watson a question about a year ago, I stand with Scott Fowler, who tweeted, I'm very unhappy with the Panthers for getting frozen out of asking a question at the David Tepper press conference. Sat in the front row, raised my hand high, wasn't called on, protested to no avail, felt like it was purposeful. Here's what you do in that situation. You just ask. That's what I learned from that press conference experience. Just ask the question and talk over everybody else. It doesn't matter. Everyone hates you anyway. You're not going to make any friends there. Stop trying to make friends, people in media. Just ask the damn question. The Panthers cut off Tepper's presser at 13 minutes. He did not answer a question about the general manager Scott Fitterer's future. He's gone. Scott Fowler and other Carolina beat reporters also, he wasn't the only one. Other beat reporters claimed that they weren't allowed to ask questions. They felt that the questions were scripted and that only specific people were called on to ask, I guess, softball questions, which David Tepper answered flawlessly, as you just heard moments ago.
I mean, he sounds like a college football dictator. Like, that's who he sounds like. He sounds like he's just running it like Clemson runs their program.
But not a good one. Like, there are some dictators who did it well, who succeeded. Okay. What? Well, I'm not...
Fine
I'm,
line here, Paul.
Don't worry.
Don't tell me about the good dictators.
I'm not... I'm just saying... Some are good at running their country.
Effective.
This is the guy who would be overthrown in a coup. And it wouldn't even take that much of a coup. Like, you could just pay, like, three of his guards, and boom, it's over. So that's the David Tepper experience, everybody. Everyone used to say Cal McNair was the worst owner in the NFL. He ain't that bad, guys.
God, so many owners are like, thank God I'm not the worst anymore.
Just stay away. And look, there's a fine line between being too hands-off. I thought Cal McNair, the McNairs at times, were a little bit too hands-off. But my God, this guy. Credit to him being successful outside of football. He is not successful in football.
First Take right now is asking the question, would you want the Panthers head coaching job? And it's a picture of Dave Tepper.
I would want the Panthers coaching job. You know why?
Because you get fired and paid?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't want to work.
He only worked for 11 games.
And listen, he tells me what to do, I'll do it. You tell me.
Exactly.
I've said this a million times before. You tell me how high to jump for money, I'll do it. I don't care. I don't care. I'm a whore for money. You're probably thinking to yourself, Paul, how deep does the rabbit hole go on that question? What would you do for money? Oh, I mean, I do have a price. I ain't cheap.
We got to go to break.
But I do
before
a lot.
You don't negotiate against yourself.
I do a lot.
Okay.
Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. A couple funny Twitter comments that I can't read on the air. Up next, last night, an old friend returned to our life. Some of you are mad about his return. Me, I loved every second of it. And you should too. Stop victimizing him. Stop being mean to him. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Some would argue that this guy uses mybookie.ag a lot, but no, he doesn't. Don't worry about that, guys. The sanctity of the game is always fine. And at mybookie.ag, you can bet on just about anything in the world of sports. You want to get crazy tonight? You want to bet on a football game between two teams in Ohio? Well, how about this? A basketball game between two teams in Ohio.
the Youngstown State Penguins, the Cleveland State Vikings. Everyone's going to be watching that game. You could also bet on Thursday Night Football tomorrow, the Cowboys, the Seahawks. The boys are 8.5-point favorites. I'm just going to say this. Have you seen Dak Prescott's numbers over the last couple of games? Holy crap. Like, he's the best quarterback in the NFL statistically for basically a month straight. The Seahawks can't stop a nosebleed right now, and Geno Smith stinks. I think the Cowboys are going to absolutely boat race the Seahawks. And yeah, I'm talking about a Thursday night football game. But guess what? The Cowboys just played this past Thursday, as did the Seahawks. This is not your older brother's Thursday night football game, and you can bet on it at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. They will match your deposit, first deposit, up to $1,000. Put down a grand. You got two G's to work with. Slam it on the boys. You're going to make some money. Mybookie.ag. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.
ESPN 975.com. We keep getting away with it.
He can't keep getting away with it.